Tonight, on episode 20 of Fallen Woman, illuminating ideals and dastardly diaphanous details from the minds of Stormy Leather, Eric Schmallenberger, and Femme Appeal include, the NRA is stalking you, pussy faggot, Dean Johnson Juju, lipstick superpowers, Philadelphia Burlesque Festival, competitive versus comparative behavior, environmental desire versus alien nature, titty challenge put to rest, and first curse word ever. Welcome to Fallen Woman. Listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn with me as a saucy character.
Not much acting required.
Eric Schmallenberger.
Also not much acting required.
So happy to have you here.
Happy to be back.
And you're dressed unusually macho tonight.
Sometimes she likes to go butch.
You're doing the butch look tonight.
I'm wearing almost workout pants, but I've got floral Doc Martens on.
They're floral, but they are Doc Martens.
But it looks like I skinned a grandmother's couch.
It does. It does. Lovingly.
You should see parts of me look like I've skinned a grandmother. But I am wearing a rainbow typewriter Jeremy Scott t-shirt, so the faggotry is still in there.
So I brought up all this macho quality that you're bringing us this evening with your look.
Mm-hmm.
Because you brought up a topic earlier that you wanted to discuss, and that was, you wanted to discuss the NRA.
Well, the NRA, it seems, is looking for me.
Looking for
you? Yeah. So, I grew up in Texas. I'm absolutely not a gun person. I've shot a gun at camp, and I've gone hunting with friends when I was younger, but haven't touched a gun in years. I don't touch the stuff. very, very into the idea of gun control, very not understanding of why civilians need guns. That amendment that was during a time when America was in a civil war and they needed people to be armed. We no longer need our regular citizens to be armed. But the NRA called my mother. Sweet Dola.
Sweet Dola.
In Houston, Texas, called her at her house 7 times last week looking for me. And I eventually said, Dola, tell them that you're like witchy faggot son.
Uh-huh.
Send them a picture of me, dressed like a flamingo in a sparkly bathroom.
A photo from you at the Coney Island Mermaid Parade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something.
Whatever. Anything from any portion of my life, and they'll see that. And so I put this on Facebook last night because now all of the ads before things
the sideline, the ads on the margin.
Yeah, from the NRA. And people are, and I was like, somebody help me figure this out.
If you're not schizophrenic, this would send you through the roof.
Somebody figure this out. And people are like, well, you know, people sell your information, but I don't buy things online. I don't,
looking for any stage prop guns?
No. I barely use the internet. I'm really an old-fashioned girl. I use Facebook because I'm a promoter and I have to, and I watch porn and I occasionally watch Netflix. But I watch Xena Warrior Princess on Netflix. There's nothing about my life besides the fact that I'm a 34-year-old man from Texas who lived in Texas till he was 17 that would ever hint at the fact.
But why were they calling and asking for you? Did they give a reason?
No.
Did she ask them why?
My mother doesn't care that much to be inquisitive. She just found it funny and would just sort of hang up.
It's anecdotal for her.
Yeah.
I know she cares for you very
right,
much.
Right, no, but, right. Right, but she doesn't, she's just like, yeah. No, he's not here.
She merrily rolls along.
Right, exactly. Yes. It's not something that phases her.
No.
My mother is a lovely woman, but
I do find that a bit suspicious.
I find it intriguing.
Yeah.
But I'm dreaming now that maybe they're trying to expand their audience and they want a glittery homo in a tutu
to represent them.
Be their spokeswoman.
Right.
So glitter beard, like trashy torn up like t-shirt, Daisy Dukes and a pair of cowboy boots, and I think that I'm going to win them some new audience members, you know? And I love how phallic a gun is, and there is a feeling of power. There was a phase, but it was like 15 years ago when I was obsessed with going to the shooting range in New Jersey. But I paid for that with cash, and I would go by myself. So, and I never gave them my email. Like I said, I barely use the computer.
Wow.
Outside of pornography and watching Xena Warrior Princess.
Mm.
You know, liking your pictures on Facebook.
That might have something to do with it.
But yeah, so that's the great mystery of this week.
Wow.
That's the great mystery of this week.
That is quite mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your pussy faggot ties in nicely now.
So,
the NRA.
The NRA
wants to get a hold of a man
I'm co-producing with Earl Dax
a show called
Pussy Faggot.
Yes,
which is an evening of queer performance at the House of Yes. This is the 7th year anniversary.
Congratulations!
It's very exciting. I have been going to Pussy Faggot for all 7 years. And Earl and I are very old friends, and this is the first time that I've worked together with him as a co-curator, and it's fantastic. We're going to have all of these people, Bourgeois and Maurice from London, you are performing.
I'm very excited to bring my Monroe Speaks piece.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Because it is called the
Seven-Year Itch, because it's the 7-year anniversary of the party, and we're gonna have aerialists from the House of Yes.
Gorgeous.
Kitten and Lou are performing.
Ooh.
Machine Dazzle is performing. So it's gonna be quite a lovely lineup.
I'm really excited about this. I'm very honored, fun, I have to say.
Fun, interesting people. So yeah, that's gonna be great. I was really touched that Earl asked me to participate, and it's at my home venue.
Yeah,
so
your stomping
that's
grounds.
My stomping grounds. So it's gonna be fun.
What is the date and time?
It's on April 24th, and the evening begins at 8 o'clock. With some performance stuff yet to be determined.
Happening.
And then continues on with performance and dancing and lovely moments throughout the evening. We're even having like a fashion installation. Elkel is doing a new line with this fantastic designer, Diego Montoyo, and I'm working really intimately with them to create a like 20-minute long fashion installation. So that's exciting.
Almost as exciting as your Dean Johnson experience.
Yeah.
And how you met
Dean. So Dean, for people out there who don't know, was this incredible queer performer, rock and roll god, goddess, gender bender, punkest person I possibly have ever met. And he had a song in the movie, Mondo, New York, Fuck You. That's just one of my favorite songs ever. Uh-huh. And when I was 15, uh-huh. I went out by myself in New York. My parents were here on business, and I sort of snuck out of the place we were staying in Brooklyn Heights.
Fun.
And went to this little club, mm-hmm. Mother.
Oh, I miss Mother.
That was an amazing place.
In the meatpacking district.
In the meatpacking district.
When there were still the wonderful hookers down there.
And I'm this skinny little 15-year-old who looks like a Jewish anime character. Uh-huh. And I wore black jeans and a black t-shirt. It was the middle of summer. And, like, the first time I ever tried to do eyeliner, and I went up, and there's this tall, tall, bald queen with sunglasses on and, like, 8-inch platform shoes.
Very imposing.
Very.
Yes.
I was fucking terrified. And
he terrified me, too.
And he just sits there, and he looks, and he's like, how old are you? Oh. And I didn't know how to lie. I was so scared, and I was like, I'm 15. And he just sort of laughed and grabbed me by my shirt and said,
by the scruff,
good luck, and threw me into the club. And I asked him years later why he threw a 15-year-old into the nightclub, and he just sort of laughed and said, well, you have to give the grown-up something to play with. And I remember seeing Bob that night. I went many times, like anytime
More
I would come.
Bob.
I remember very distinctly a few people. I remember Bob, mm-hmm. Heather Latier, uh-huh. and Penny Arcade. And I remember the House of Domination. I wouldn't recognize it, but it must have
Wonderful
been like
women to remember.
Viva Knievel and who else? Who else was in the House of D?
Oh, the House of D. I'm thinking
Jai Co.
Yes.
All of those people. So
yes.
I remember like them doing go-go, and I remember Penny Arcade screaming at people. I was so terrified. I just sort of like sat in the corner, and I didn't know who any of these people were
She's
yet.
She's so good at that.
She's
too.
Penny's amazing.
She's amazing.
But it really got the bug in me, and it's one of the reasons that I moved to New York was these first early experiences of going, and I never went to like. I didn't go to the Limelight or anything like that until I moved to New York. The first few times I came to New York, I always went to Mother. So, Chi-Chi and Johnny forever.
Chi-Chi and Johnny forever. And on that note, cheers. Here's to the Mother Days.
Here's to the Mother Days.
It's where I first met you. Performance artist extraordinaire.
I'm blushing over here.
Someone who's given me tons of inspiration. Stormy Leather.
Hello, hello.
Yes. Hey.
I'm blushing over here.
You are. And it's funny. Gingers really, you can tell when they're blushing more than most.
Yeah.
You have that pink.
A little warm.
Going on. Yeah.
Yeah, a little warm.
She's got the pink glow.
There's the kitty again.
I have to say, one of the reasons you've often inspired me isn't just on stage. It's been off stage with your sisterhood and your loyalty and how you approach your work is very purist. You're not coming from a place of ego. I don't see you coming from a place of even oddly ambition, which has always surprised me. I've seen you as like a kind of a triple threat on many levels, and you lay back and you go creative style with it, and you're not trying to be like a superstar, but you are. And you just don't see it. And I love that about you. I kind of have that comedy a little bit. I don't take compliments well. I don't, you know, but you bring it. You fucking bring it. You're one of my strongest sisters. And, you know, in this world we call show, there's a lot of competitive, ambitious behavior that we field and dodge and weave and handle when we are in the dressing room, when we are out and about, or online.
Yeah,
and look, this brings up what you said, comparative behavior.
It's comparisons. It's competitive. I think as artists and performers, if we want to get down to it, what I like to do is I like to be an entertainer. I like to go on stage. I like to entertain. If you're entertained, yeah, I'm fucking happy.
That's what
I like to be entertained. And if I can do for you what other artists do for me, make me laugh, make me cry, change my mind, make me think about something, whatever it is, make me swoon, I don't give a fuck what it is. If you can make me feel something other what I walked in than what I walked in with, you did your job. And if I can do that, fucking awesome. And if I can't, kick my ass off the fucking stage.
Yes.
I'll go get a day job or something. I'll go back to bartending.
You tend to leave your ego at the door.
Well, yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're an entertainer. It's a privilege to have the job.
Exactly.
First of all, know that if you get stage time at all, it's a fucking privilege to have the job.
Yeah.
And treat it as such.
Yeah.
You know? I know we all get tired and we all, whatever. It's your fucking job and it's a privilege. You know, a lot of people would kill to be where you are right now. Right. You know, even if it's just the shittiest show you can think of, whatever. You fucking own it and do it, you know, and love it. And if you don't have that, then what's it for? If you're in it for the money, well, then go home because there's not a lot in it for you. Trust me.
Right.
And we already have a Dita Von T, so good luck.
Yeah.
Bless you. And I just look at a lot of girls killing themselves, comparing themselves to other performers. I mean, there's a lot of different... I mean, burlesque blew up. I first moved into this town. I barely knew what burlesque was. I was looking for a burlesque show.
Right.
And it was back when before Craigslist was super creepy. Found Kitty Nights, met Femme, did her show.
Femme Appeal.
Yes.
Who's here
so,
tonight.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome broad. And
then you got into badass.
And we, yes. And then I met you at like a poetry thing with Abby and Face Boy and all that craziness. And you were like, you should go to the box. I'm like, what's that?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. And I was just
developing
numbers.
Badass was at the Bowie Poetry Club.
Yeah.
And then,
well, this was before. We did some underground place.
Oh, okay.
I have pictures from that.
You
have long pink.
This sounds like a Throwback Thursday photo.
Very much so.
Yeah.
When you call me or text me, that photo pops up. For some reason, it's never changed.
Wow, you need to text me that.
I will.
Yeah.
Where were we? No, but I just feel like we compare ourselves too much because we get to this point where, you know, I look at Gal Friday and I like started at the same time, and her and I perform in a lot of places and shows together, and then we perform in a lot of places that don't hire one or the other.
Right.
But no one's ever sore about it. We know that we do completely different things, but we would never compare ourselves to one another.
You're both hot gingers.
Yeah.
And but
the
your
only
genres
thing we
compare
is
different.
Whose hair is more ginger today than the others? You know, or
right.
You know, oh shit, we're in the same show. Are you wearing a wig, or is everyone going to get confused tonight because they don't know the difference between one redhead and another?
Right.
It's very true. And then also, if you put Julianne Moore on the stage, they would think that we were her as well.
Yeah.
We joke about that all the time.
Yeah. I bet you both get compared to her.
But, you know, like, we can't compare each other. And we can't knock producers and other performers because they get booked at one show or another or not at one show or another.
Uh-huh.
First of all, there's only a budget.
Oh, my God.
It was the cat.
Suki
totally
in the cat
just
box.
Took a turn and did the shake off.
She did, like... Yeah. You know, you were very passionate earlier about recycling. Is this...
You made fun of me for bringing that up. Now you're bringing it up. I love it.
It seems really fitting right now.
Yeah, you know, actually, you remember the movie Serial Mom?
I was just surprised. I wasn't making fun of you. I was just caught off guard that the Stormy Leather, one of the most edgiest performers I know, when she's I
like,
asked her,
what do you want to talk about? Like, what recycling.
Topic, she said recycling. I was like, and that, all I said was, recycling? Okay.
I said, all right, scratch that. I was just surprised. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. But I feel that, you know, you have a new marriage, new home.
Yeah.
And you've finally been able to start nesting, like really putting it together all.
It's not just that. Look.
To do.
Do you ever realize or think about how much shit you're throwing out on a daily basis? Do you ever stop and think about how much shit? Do you ever stop and think about how much of that shit that could be reusable?
The consumption that we do.
Yes. Do you think about where that shit goes when you're done with it? When it goes out that chute? When it goes on that garbage truck? When it goes to the landfill? What do you think happens to that shit? It doesn't disappear. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about just you and me. We're talking about millions of fucking people.
Right.
Millions. And it's not just here. It's every fucking where. And why are we still using fucking styrofoam?
Oh God! Don't you get pissed off on styrofoam? When I open up a box and there's styrofoam inside, it really annoys me. It's like, why isn't there like bubble? Like,
so I mean, it's just a whole part of the whole. Like paper in here? It's all about the whole looking to the future, a whole global thing. I like the world we live in. I'm really ecstatic to be here. I'd like to be around and keep it around for a long fucking time, mm-hmm. and for future generations. Fucking,
you have a lot of hope, and I think that's beautiful.
I want to have hope. I want other people to have hope. And in order to do that, you have to fucking do something. Recycle your shit, people. Rinse it the fuck out. Put it in the blue bag. I know it's a pain in the ass. It's not my favorite part of the week. But you know what? Do it. Fucking do it.
You know what I think?
Do something. Make some contribution.
This is how I've made peace with it.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. In a nutshell, I'm going to keep this very brief. I believe that we are half alien and half animal, and that we are somewhat of a lab experiment that has been abandoned. When I hear songs that talk about God is dead, I just feel like the aliens flew the coop. Angels, aliens, aliens, angels. Same thing. I feel that we are almost not supposed to be on this planet inherently. Like, when we're just not indigenous species.
No,
I think that's why we're the only species that are destroying the planet. Because we're kind of not supposed to be here.
We are. I'm
dead serious. This is my outrageous perception. And this is why I hear your plight. I hear your plight. I really do. It's real. The problem, the struggle is real.
But no,
we are destroying this planet.
Yeah, we are. I
think it's because we're not thoroughly indigenous.
No, we are. We are.
We're the only animals that knowingly commit murder.
We come from this earth. It's evolution.
We're the only animals that we can't even have. We can't even live in the right. Every temperature is too hot or too cold. We can't even adapt to our surroundings the way the rest of the animals and mammals and fish and manna and birds and everything adapts but us.
Of course.
And we force everything to adapt around us. And I have to take pause and think to myself.
But that has nothing to do. Are we supposed to be here? Of course we are.
Not sure.
That has nothing to do with the outcome of what's going on.
No, it does. Because I don't know if it's within human nature to even... I don't even know if it's within human nature to have the wherewithal to give a shit the way you do. I think that there's a minority of people on this entire planet.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think plenty of people give a shit. I just don't think that they know how to give a shit.
I just feel like they just have so much to process being here, they can't even begin to give a shit. Isn't that crazy? And I love what you're saying. And I think it's perfect. And I wish we could do this thing. But I don't know if we are equipped, you know?
It's not an alien, trust me. Jesus. It's not Jesus either. Christ. It's not him either.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Fuck, Jesus. That's not him either.
No, is it Buddha?
No, Jesus.
Oh, that's Jesus.
See, you know, I think it's funny. You know what's funny is I say Jesus all the time, like, oh, Jesus. And it's not because I'm religious. It's just because I grew up in the South.
I understand.
There was this, Jesus Christ. Right? You know, Jesus.
Christ on a crutch.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus, Mary, get off the cross. We need the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
No, but seriously, don't blame it on the aliens. Blame it. We humans, we came from the earth. We evolved here, and we're destroying it. And we need to do something.
We are absolutely we're destroying it.
There's trash everywhere, folks. Recycle your plastic. Reuse things. Repurpose it. Stop buying shit if there's fucking... Let's write a letter. Let's write a letter to Amazon to tell them they don't have to put my incense in a giant shoebox wrapped in fucking 2 feet of fucking.
You get this gigantic bubble wrap.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And it weighs nothing, and there's just all this
bubble wrap plastic
waste, and inside it is this tiny little product, and I deal with the same thing.
I can't be bothered. You guys are fucking killing me.
I know.
And styrofoam. Why do we still have styrofoam? Okay, can we move on to something happy? The world is going to the landfill. We're going to have to start building cities.
Well, time's actually up, baby.
Yeah.
Time's up, girl. We are right. We are 4 minutes
I'm glad I talked about the important things.
I'm happy about it because this was a very bizarre and amusing way to talk about important
things. You chose recycling. I did it.
I did not. That girl, don't you pin that on me. That was so you.
You said no. I'm like, oh, scribble it out.
I didn't say no. I just said I was just surprised. And then as we spoke, I began to realize she really does care about this. Let's talk about it.
I do. I'm very particular about it. Watch Serial Mom. She's particular about it too. Do you ever see Serial Mom?
Yes, girl. A, I love John Waters.
Yes.
B, oh my God.
Yeah.
The lead actress.
She's my hero about recycling.
Not just that. We are talking about the same woman that played China Blue in Crimes of Passion, my favorite cinema hooker of all time. The same woman that also did the voice of Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, Kathleen Turner.
Yes, the star of Serial Mom.
Romancing the Stone, that bitch.
Hello,
yeah.
We are talking about one of the most underrated cinema divas of all time.
She's awesome. Absolutely. And that voice, her fucking voice. Please tell me bedtime stories.
I'm gonna have to watch Serial Mom in the next couple of days.
Do it, do it. It holds the fuck up.
Yeah.
Serial Mom holds the fuck up. I live by it. Hey, and before Legally Blonde did it, she lost her shit about white shoes after
Labor Day.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She committed a murder over that.
Oh, well, no, she...
What?
Yeah. I didn't... Spoiler alert.
On that note... I love you, sister. You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn, and with me is a gorgeous creature. Femme appeal, folks.
I've never been described that way before. Well, thank you.
Tell me about your lipstick fetish.
I buy a lot of lipstick, and I find out about lipstick by research. Mm-hmm. I come across all these articles all the time, and one of them will be Styler Beauty, the 10 colors that every skin tone can wear. Oh. Or the mattes, or the semi-whatevers. And I'll look online, and then I do research because I don't want to go into a store blind. I hate having people come over and try to help me.
Salespeople make me want
to. If I need help, I'll come to you.
Yes.
So if I go there knowing what I want and mm-hmm. where it is,
yes.
I don't need them. Right. So that's why I do it. Because mm-hmm. that's why I do it. Because I just want to go in and out. I kind of shop like a dude. But
yeah.
I buy a lot of lipstick. And I'm looking for a certain kind of finish.
What's your thing with finish? Do you like it shiny, matte, pearlescent?
Here's the thing. Matte looks great, but I have full lips, and they tend to dry anyway.
So you don't really go for the lip stains?
I have on a lip stain now, and I love it. It's yeah. Stila, the all-day liquid, and okay. I love it.
Have you tried Lime Crime?
I haven't tried Lime Crime, but I've tried OCC and Kat Von D.
Ah, she does some serious makeup. I love her eyeliner. I'm all about it.
Her makeup colors are beautiful, but the formula from color to color isn't consistent.
Quality control.
Yeah. I've heard wonderful things about Jeffree Star.
Jeffree Star is practically sold out on her cosmetic website.
I want unicorn blood. I keep hearing about unicorn blood.
I want unicorn blood. It's on eBay, but it's like $80 or something. I want unicorn so bad.
Yeah, so do I. Because I had the version from Kat Von D.
Yes.
Vampira. And it's just not a great finish.
Have you tried Lime Crime?
I haven't.
You might like Wicked.
Okay.
To me, it's the equivalent to unicorn blood.
Okay.
It's just a little more red than it is purple or brown.
And I have three different reds. And it's so amazing to me. They vary from formula to brand.
I've had friends make fun of me about how many different shades of red lipstick I have. But they're so different.
Yeah.
Different person. I can't do an orange red. I have to have a blue red.
I have to have a blue red as well.
Yeah.
But I love lipstick. And every time I do this thing where I try to pare down my makeup bag.
Right. Oh.
And there are lots of things I get rid of easily. And then the lipstick, yes. I'm like, oh, but I have two of these. In the same color.
And they don't make them anymore, and you want to hang on to them. I'm yeah. the same way. I'm like, I hoard my lipsticks.
I also have work lipstick. I have play lipstick.
Yeah, I have like and day I have lipstick show and lipstick. Show lipstick. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right now I'm kind of wearing my day lipstick.
So am I.
It's like a mellow plum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I was doing like a show lipstick, you know, it would be like bitch red.
Right.
What's poker bitch? Pink. Or or cunt brown. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, Salem. That's the cunt brown color of Lime Crime. They make a really beautiful brown called Salem.
Okay.
And it's almost what I like to think of it as is the sepia tone of goth lipstick.
Okay.
Like, because I have some yellow in my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put on black lipstick, I look like I have jaundice. So I'm more of a sepia tone goth.
Got it.
So, yeah, Salem and Wicked work really good for me. But I really like Salem because it eliminates all the Bordeaux, and it's like intensely, like it looks like dense chocolate cake brown, like brown.
And do you, and then I'll like look at the drugstore lipsticks, and even if they're saying like, oh my god, this is better than this name brand.
Some brands are.
They are, but I just feel like I need my specialty Sephora, paid too much for it.
You know how foodies are with their food?
Yeah.
You're like that with your lipstick.
I am. I really am.
Yeah. Me too. Packaging is like, beauty is important around you and your environment. You like to have good chi flowing through your apartment. I like to have good chi flowing through my purse as well.
Yeah.
So that comes into play with packaging. That's where Jeffree Star wins over Lime Crime, I have to say.
Okay.
Is the packaging is gorgeous.
The other thing I love about lipstick is it's the only accessory you need sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You can wear no eye makeup at all and just have a beautiful, kissable, fuckable pair of lips.
Yes.
Before we wrap this up, I really want to hear about your upcoming Philadelphia Burlesque Festival. Will be featuring Miss Femme Appeal as a teacher. Tell me, what are you teaching?
Well, I'll just say that I have been asked to do two numbers, and
that's amazing.
One of them is my Jules from Pulp Fiction, Samuel L. Jackson's character,
and
I've been doing that for a really long time.
Why has that been in Badass?
I don't think so.
I don't think it has. I would have known.
Okay.
Oh.
I get to do trees, my girl.
Well, we're going to have to rectify that this year. You're going to have to bring your jewels to Badass, please.
Sure. But I'm doing another number, and it's become one of my all-time favorites.
Yo.
I just brought it to this Badass 12-year anniversary show.
Oh, my God. Guys, I got to just tell you, this woman brought the house down. No, Abraham Lincoln brought the fucking house down. And she freed the slaves, too, on stage. It was so good. Tell us a bit about the creation of that. What went into that?
Oh, actually, I had the show Kitty Nights, and it was $5, and my friends, like Pat and Tony, always made fun of me, saying I was calling me grandma, saying I was old. And the reason that Kitty Nights was $5 was to honor my boyfriend, Abraham Lincoln.
Oh my God. And dude.
So that was a joke. One time for my birthday, they did Femme Appeal, This Is Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham Lincoln came out and roasted me.
Oh my God.
As a ghost.
Oh,
so and it was pretty funny. But Davina Grand Sparkle, they were putting together a benefit show for her at the Slipper Room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to help with some legal fees.
Mm-hmm.
She's fantastic. She's wonderful.
I adore her.
She's been here forever, but she was having issues getting a visa.
She brought the house down at Badass with her divine performance.
Yes,
as her pink flamingos.
She is wonderful.
Yes.
And so Tiny D, Ginger Twist, and Dave Lawrence Bird put together a benefit show for Davina at the Slipper Room. And I got a text message, we're putting together this show for Davina. And she specifically asked for these performers. Can you do that Abraham Lincoln act that you have? And I said, what are you talking about? I don't have an Abraham Lincoln act. And that was a long time ago. And 2 days after that text, I texted back Tiny D, and I said, I found music for my Abraham Lincoln act.
Yes,
it was born. And when I did my Kitty Nights reunion show at Coney Island last year.
Can we say what the music is?
Centuries by Fall Out Boy.
Fabulous.
But it's a mix, a remix.
Are you part of that? I'll ask you after. Continue. You were saying. I want to hear the rest of the story.
So, but basically, I debuted this act at the Slipper Room, and then the second or third time I did it, I think it was at Coney Island, and Peter Aguero was the host, and he was trying to keep something for me, but I was keeping something from him. No one really knew that I was going to bring out slaves and free them.
Very few people can get me wet and make me cry at the same time without having sex with me. That was amazing. I was laughing so hard, I was crying my ass off.
Well, thank you.
And I got a little moist. It's really hot.
I just love the act because it's so ridiculous.
Imagine, and it's fearless, too.
But imagine, I used to watch those dance battle movies like Step Up, Step Up 2, and
yes.
Keep
yeah,
Stepping,
I can't. I can't. So, but I totally know what you're talking about.
I always imagine
when
I was...
That's like Too Fast, Too Furious for me. Yes. I can't. Yeah.
But I always imagine, what if you put Abraham Lincoln yeah. in one of those dance battles?
That was the best ever.
So that's what that act is.
That explains so much. Nobody moves like you. Nobody I know. And that's like, you know, they used to say that about Billie Holiday. Nobody sang like her. Janis Joplin, too, said the same thing. Nobody sang like her. When I see you on stage, it is like watching... an icon, because no one can duplicate that. Only you have that juju.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And I would dance battle you any day.
I love burlesque. I love that I get
that
to be all these characters.
Yes, you rock.
Well, thank you. Again, thank you.
Lollipop cheers. I love you.
I love you too.
You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. With me is a salty, sexy bunch. I'm going to start here with the saltiest, Mr. Eric Schmallenberger.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Stormy Leather.
Super salty. Hello.
I'm a little briny, too. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Femme Appeal.
Mm. I'm the sweet sugar pie of this bunch.
Mm.
Liar.
The darker the berry, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Push that berry off the chair.
So we have to settle something here tonight, folks. There's been five or 6 years, guys. Can you agree on which year?
Six.
Yeah, it's
been
a
say round
well,
up
Well, we've
six.
Known each other 9.5 to 10 years. It's been about 5-6 years that we've been arguing about this.
Okay, they have been in a tit competition for about 6 years.
That's right.
Off and on, time to time, they like to see which skinny bitch has the biggest tits at the time.
Mine are bigger.
I say
totally
this as
bigger.
As a woman of curves. It's just, you guys...
Look, both
their bodies
of us,
are gorgeous.
Now
that's
this
why.
Woman, now,
that's
I'm
why.
I'm going to tell you this right now. We are at best.
I'm beside myself. I don't know what to say.
A size A. Okay? We're at best a size 32, 34A. Now this woman comes
head.
To me going, look how big my titties have gotten. I'm a B. I'm like, bitch, there is no A or B. My titties are bigger than yours, and I'm an A. So. Let's settle this once and for all. Let's get out.
Okay, let's
the
get
tape.
Out the Oz is the tape.
Let's get the shirts
Oz
off.
Oz are our tech man. They are taking off their shirt, folks. They are
I
now
wish that they could see
topless.
This.
I wish they could too, because these are some beautiful, beautiful breasts.
Where should I be holding my arms?
No, you're good. I think you got the Christ-like pose. I think works. You want to lay it right over the nip. You don't want to compress too hard because then you're losing actual...
Don't make it too tight. Yeah, that's what I'm
meaning. Yeah, don't
here.
Make it too tight.
And you've got to get right into the... Okay.
I'm fascinated.
I'm just going to have to do this. Cause
yeah, Stormy's in on it. He's gonna even you out in the back there. There we go.
No. That's
what are we looking at?
No.
Now, yeah, as soon as she gets herself positioned and in line, we will get the number.
All right, we are at...
Looks very even.
34.
Actually, exactly 34.
Yes.
She is 34.
34 and a little, and that little one over. 34 point.
Little nip.
Yeah.
34 and a nip.
34 and a nip.
We are now on to Femme Appeal.
But we also got to go on visual, too. I mean, if
oh,
we...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you can do a cupping feel.
I'm doing
yeah,
a cupping
feel.
You can do a cupping as well.
Yes. What is it?
a little over 30. It's just right there.
Almost 31.
30 and a half plus 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right. But does that count for cup size?
All right. Now we're going to do the...
Oh, well, okay. You show Oz how to do that.
All right.
That's a new thing for me.
I'm
okay,
cupping.
This is... You two can do this. You guys can be the parcel judges.
Okay.
And may I demonstrate?
Eric is the cupping
judge. And you can just see how much it fills your hand versus the
other. How dense it is.
Yeah, you're looking for density.
You want to look for cup. How much it fills your hand. Which one fills your hand more?
I'm looking for weight, I think.
Hi. It's not weight. It's what fills your hands more, because that would be the cup size.
Wait, Eric, go back. Just make sure you get right. Right.
And
his hands
are so warm.
I warmed my hands.
He's touching her. Okay. Cupping, femipeal.
Cupping.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay.
You
now
can't
you know
see
that.
Tits on the radio.
Okay. He is now cupping Stormy Leather. Cupping, Eric?
Cupping.
Yes.
I know I have more.
Mm-hmm. So I have to.
Yeah, cup away.
You got to compare notes.
Do you see how when he took his hand away, they dropped?
Yeah, I know. There's some weight.
But you have to allow for extra skin from, you know, the sagging.
Oh, girl. I'm trying here.
Okay, with my shirt.
Shade. That's some...
It's a competition, motherfuckers.
She's one of those. Well, we know what you're going to be like on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Exactly.
All right. So... Obviously, my measurements, I do have a wide rib cage given, mm-hmm. so mine would obviously be a little more.
Right.
So,
cupping-wise... Well, I was going to say, like, your rib cage is more there.
Mm-hmm. Expanded, yeah.
I've never described this before. You have denser,
mm-hmm.
slightly heavier.
Yeah, I do.
But hers filled my hands more.
Huh, they're more widespread.
But yeah, I don't know...
But
how to describe
femme appeal
the, but yours,
gravity.
But you,
so
you
then
had
weight. Filling the hand.
Hers were
meant that
yours
the cup
were like
is bigger.
No, it just means it's spread out though. Whereas
thank you.
Hers is more condensed, but it's got the weight.
Mangoes.
No, you had you. I mean, you both have very firm breasts, but yours were. I don't know. There was a different musculature to it.
Sorry.
It was a denser breast.
Do you feel like you're...
Oh, yours like was more of like a meringue.
Okay.
Interesting way to put that. Leave it to a gay man.
No, that makes sense. I'm trying to think.
So that would make like femme appeal, like flourless chocolate cake.
We're gonna go...
Yes,
dense.
And Stormy Leather like a... lemon meringue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Both are delicious desserts.
Yes, true. They are.
So
is there a winner this time?
Where do we go with this information?
I just feel like everybody won just now.
Well, because no.
I
we
certainly
have, no,
did.
Because we're going to go from here on out for the rest of our lives.
Stormy's out for blood. For the rest of your
Let's
lives?
Let's talk about rib cage and all of that again, because
well,
that's
mine's 34 compared to like 30 and a half something.
Well, that's the rib. That's the rib
that's
expansion.
The rib.
That's the rib cage.
It's not that much bigger.
You guys have to take off your shirts again.
Bye.
Here's how we're gonna settle it. What's gonna happen now is we're gonna see the difference in size between the tit measurement that we just took. You being 31, you being 34, right? 34.
30 and a half and 34. Don't give her an extra
31. That sounds accurate.
Right? To me, it seemed 31 to me.
It was under 31.
Slipping and sliding. All right. So what we're measuring now is like, for example, like the space under the tit. Like under the boob. Yeah, which, that is just, you're measuring the rib cage, not the tit. The space under the tit. Which for me is 37.
Versus what's your tits?
What I was before. 47. My tits give me 10 inches.
Well, you're going to have to do mine.
So now we figure out how many inches you have.
Under.
Yes.
Just
am
over.
Am I straight?
She is 31 and a half from what I'm looking at. Stormy Leather looks like she is at... Wait, lift your tit. Lift her tit. Almost 31 and a half. Almost straight up 31.
Now, I can't do this.
No, Jesus.
Don't knock over her wine.
You knock over my wine, our relationship is punch you in the throat. Freaking over.
She'll cut a bitch.
I will take what little titty
right,
you have.
Right under... Oh, my God. She's so shady.
Isn't she?
Yes.
I really wish that our at-home listeners could see
all
of this.
I feel like
this.
We are looking at... Hold on.
27.
Wait a minute.
Or 27 and a half.
Just a minute. It's straight up 27. Look at that.
Actually, no, that's not straight.
It's the straightest thing in this room besides us.
Actually, no. We had it at an angle down her side. I don't want to give her an
unfair...
Oh,
that's really... No, because
her back
seemed really big to me.
Yeah. Stand up straight. Quit moving, God damn it. Jesus.
Stormy's getting rough.
Stop moving.
Stormy's getting rough.
And can you help?
And your hands are so cold.
Just like your heart.
What am I doing?
If you even had what... Lift your arms up.
Take over.
Quit moving.
Take over.
Take over?
Oh, yes. Usurp. Okay, here we go. It's actually, we're at 28.
28.
28.
I'll agree with 28.
So she was 31, right?
Right. So that's 3 inches. Wait, no, we need it for Stormy. We didn't measure yours.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
What was yours?
They're both 31. At 3 inches.
Oh, see? So you're
tied.
We have
the exact same tits.
You're fucking tied.
All right.
Mine are denser.
Yes, they are.
Hey, mine are like fluffy fucking snowflakes.
I am fucking flourless vegan fucking cake.
All right, here we go. Can we shake on this? Our titties are the same size.
It is. You guys have to accept it. It's just different shapes.
Okay.
All right. Are we done?
Same size?
Are we done?
Shape.
Hold on.
Give them a moment.
All right.
Okay.
Done.
All right.
I wish everybody could see the tears that have happened.
Seriously. It's just been a very
emotional
thing.
I bet I have the smallest nipples.
No. I have really tiny nipples. You'd be surprised. My nipples are teeny.
All right. Where are we?
Oh, my God.
So much smaller than yours.
You win, Eric. Yeah. You win. You have the smallest nipples in the house.
Oh, my God.
My nipple is the exact same size
as
a dime.
It's the size of a fruit fly.
It's the size of a dime.
But that's your areola, but your actual nipple is like the size of a fruit fly.
Jesus Christ, that's...
Oh, wow.
I think your belly button is bigger than your nipple.
You can't
clamp.
No,
that's
no
so
nipple
kind.
Clamps
no nipple
for
clamps for you.
Do I have your consent to touch that?
Yeah.
She's touching his nipple.
They'll perk up when they're cold.
There's no difference.
They probably recede.
They don't ever get hard.
I'm wondering if they like go inverted if it gets cold and backwards. You know, because
the little
so
look
tiny.
At the little tip of it looks like a raindrop from far away.
It's a little
dewdrop.
Little dewdrop.
Oh, it looks like it's trying. It's getting there.
Oh, yeah.
Nipple play is not something that ever, like...
Oh,
that's
it's
adorable.
Hard. It's so
that
cute.
One's definitely hard.
Yeah, that one's hard. I feel
look
that
at
one.
You. Oh.
Sorry, they're adorable.
I just
I'm sorry.
So cute. They're like little...
Give me an inch, I'll take a mile.
No.
Or give me a centimeter. I'll take a foot.
What was your favorite curse word? Not your favorite, your first curse word, Eric.
Fuck.
Fuck. How old were you?
Learning how to speak, I was like 2 and a half. Got my mouth washed out with Tabasco sauce.
Oh, wait,
yes.
You were 2 and a half?
Yeah.
With Tabasco sauce?
I loved it. They had to move on to soap very quickly.
Hey,
that's funny.
But I've always had bad language.
It's disturbing but funny.
Yeah, I've always had bad language, like since... Since 2 and a half, never not used bad words. It wasn't really a problem in my house. My mother was like, "Oh, where the fuck do these kids learn how to talk?"
My mother swore all the time, so
yeah.
She decided that I was allowed to swear too.
Yeah.
So, what was your first swear word, Femapeel?
It was a phrase. It was "oh shit."
Oh shit! How old were you?
I think I was 3, and my mother was probably cooking, and she dropped something.
Startled
so she
you.
Said it.
Oh, she said it?
Mm-hmm.
But when did you say it?
Well, I said it right after her, but that was the first time.
So you were echoing her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get in trouble?
No.
Oh, that was nice. Stormy.
My one is another form of shit. It was bullshit. I think I was about four, maybe.
Yeah.
And my father had this leather belt, which if I was bad, you ain't got ass beat with a belt sometimes. Yeah. If you lived in the South,
totally. I was told I had to get the belt.
Well, no.
To be spanked.
No, it was my dad's belt. It was like the only belt in the house was that belt. And had this. And with my grandmother, it was a switch. So you got either one of those. But my father had this belt, and it had this big belt buckle, and it had like a shadow, like a thing, like a shadow of a bull on it. And it said bullshit.
It said bullshit.
And I remember sitting on his lap one day, I was like, Daddy, can I say your belt buckle? Can I say it? He's like, he looks around. He says, well, don't let your mama know. And I said, bullshit.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
Bullshit.
That's so cute.
So bullshit was my first, yeah. But I did grow up in a house where they cuss all the time and wonder where I got
his belt buckle said bullshit, for God's sake. So,
and I can't even say bullshit without a fucking accent. Bullshit.
Right.
It's just
you're Texans over here.
Bullshit.
Texans. Bullshit.
Yeah,
bullshit.
You guys are both Texans. Both you.
Oklahoma/Texan.
You're Oklahoma/Texan.
Yeah.
And you're straight up Texan.
I was born in California, but I only lived there till I was three.
Oh, okay. I was born in Arkansas, but I was raised in Southern California.
Right.
Eric, where can we find you online?
On Instagram at Schmalenberger, Schmalenberger.
Jesus.
I'm done now. I'm done.
Yeah.
Or on Facebook at look up the same. There's very few of us.
You can find me on Instagram at StormyLeatherNY. You can find me on Twitter as serious. It's all different. StormyLeatherNY on Twitter and StormyLeather on Facebook, although you can't tag me on shit, so because Facebook sucks.
Yes.
And then you can just find me all over New York taking my clothes off.
Femme Appeal on Twitter, Femme Appeal on Instagram, and Kitty Nights NYC on Facebook.
Folks, if you want to hear archive episodes of Fallen Woman, go to fallenwoman.com. And thank you guys for giving us a wonderful time tonight.
Thank you.
Toast.
Yay. Boobs.
Thank you for the warm hands.
Boobs.
Hey.
For the warm hands.
Yes. And here's the equal titties.
Okay.
Maybe rock on.
Tit equality.
Mwah. I need more wine.
My name is Velocity Child. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon and seductive humor through opinions, poetry, candor, and songs.